What I've got to share this morning is basically what is on my heart. It's funny when something's on your heart that's when you get the opportunity to either share with somebody or email somebody that's exactly what comes out. And after about two or three conversations and a couple of emails, I just really started, I guess, listening to my own heart to see what was really pounding in it. But what I want to do is first read an email that was sent to us, and then I'll read an email where I actually shared some things with this brother who responded and with a couple different other brothers as well. And that's because that's what's on my heart. The last time that I shared, I think I spoke concerning purpose and continuing in purpose. I believe that's what I shared on, and it's nothing different. It's nothing different. I went ahead last time and shared a little bit of my own experience in the Lord, and this time will be no different, except that I'll basically go into more detail on some things. So it's kind of like a continuation almost. But I'll just go ahead and read this email that we received. This is from a brother in Colombia, and this is regarding the Spanish. Our Spanish material on the website, all of our Spanish material on the website. No, Colombia.
South America.
All right. And I went ahead and translated it in English. I've got it in Spanish, but I'll read it in English for y'all. It says, Brother Jimmy, thank you for responding to my email. Certainly your contributions, as well as Brother Lumen's, Jason's, and those that are in Spanish on the CMI website, have served greatly to clarify the purpose to which God has called us. Since I was about 12 years old, I asked for the meaning of my life. And so I started this quest, going through religions and humanistic groups, until 10 years ago, through a family crisis of one of my daughters, we came to know the Lord. We entered into the Christian religion, and the Lord continued to deal with my soul. Don't you love that? And in this search, I found the CMI website, and their contributions, their materials, are of the same sense, feeling, that the Lord has been dealing with me as the life. Now we want to be sharing this with people that the Lord brings closer, nearer to us. That is the story, I would say, of each and every one of us. The whole God creates the soul with one purpose. The Holy Spirit continually deals with the heart and the soul according to that purpose. That soul finally comes into purpose, and the Holy Spirit continues to deal that it would continue in purpose. And I'll just go ahead and define purpose: the appearing of Christ. Yes. It's nothing less than the appearing of Christ. One of the conversations that I had was with some coworkers at my part-time job. And I'll just go ahead and share what I shared with them. And I'll just go ahead and read. In Genesis chapter 1, verse 1, we'll start right there. In the beginning, God. And I think I've shared this in past, and forgive me if I haven't shared it here, but I've shared it several times. But I've asked people, when did you have your beginning? And they, you know, well, I guess when I was born, that's when I began. born in the flesh. That's when I began. I said, well, yeah, okay. Now, being born in the flesh doesn't mean you have life. So then I asked again. And this would be the question to believers. When did you begin? When did you have your beginning? You began the moment life appeared in you. That's when you began. That's when you began. When Christ, who is life, appeared in your soul, you began. In the beginning, God. At that very moment. Before, there was no beginning for you. Before, you could say this, you did not really exist. All right? Going on. So in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. And the earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep. And the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters. All right. Continues in purpose. And God said, not man, but God, let there be light. And there was light. That is continuing in purpose. We enter into purpose at new birth. Why? Because purpose has entered into us. The very appearing of Christ as life, we have begun. And now the Spirit of the Lord continues to deal with the heart that we would continue in that very same purpose. Let there be light. The light of life. Religion will not, cannot direct your heart to purpose. It cannot. The religion of man cannot, because it's man-centered. It is man. Only the Spirit of the Lord can direct our hearts to purpose. Only the Spirit of the Lord will continue directing our hearts to purpose and to keep us in purpose. The appearing of Christ. And then, I love this. And God saw that the light was good, and God divided the light from the darkness. That's the only good there is. And God called the light day, and the darkness he called night, and the evening and the morning were the first day. And then the evening and the morning were the second day. Every appearing of Christ walking in the day. Day by day by day. All right. I'll just go ahead and read an excerpt from one of the emails that I sent out that caused this response. And basically, what's on my heart. So this is an email that I wrote out, sent out last week. A brother originally told me that he was working and doing some stuff and checking out materials, and here's my response to his email. Hey, is that all you're doing? If it is, I would highly suggest taking advantage of your time and listening, viewing, downloading as much of this word as possible. What word? The word that is declaring Christ. The word that is directing our hearts unto the scene of the Lord. The word that is spurring in our own hearts an expectation to behold Christ and nothing less. Right? Of this word as possible. I try to read, this is me, I try to read a paragraph, chapter, day or so from authors that declare the reality of the indwelling Christ. Since to behold Him is our goal, I want to be encouraged as much as possible in the goal. So, I know the goal. Since that's the goal, I personally, Jimmy, want to be encouraged in the beholding of Christ. Right? I want my time reading the Scripture to always be with this goal in mind. What an awesome thing it would be if every time we open the Scripture, we could both see and declare Christ from them. This can only take place if we have yielded our hearts unto the Holy Spirit, so much so that our hearts are turned unto Christ and the veil over our hearts is removed. And He who has been there in our souls the whole entire time since new birth thus appears in all His glory for us to behold. This is the Father being pleased to reveal His Son to the heart that turns to see Him. And I say, I read books from other authors. I listen to audios. I've watched videos in my own studies and searching the Scripture. That, all that can do is necessary. All that can do is encourage me, birth in my own heart an expectation to turn and behold the One they are declaring. That's all they can do. That's all they can do. In a class, I was, last time, the Eternal Blessing, Numbers chapter 6, verse 22 through 27, where it says, "The Lord, the Eternal, said to Moses, speak unto Aaron, the bringer of light, and unto his sons, a perpetual thing, from generation to generation to generation. In this manner you will bless the sons of Israel, saying, the Lord, the Eternal, bless thee and keep thee. The Eternal make His face shine upon thee. The Eternal lift up His countenance upon thee and give thee peace." Do you see? The Eternal do this. The Eternal do this. The Eternal do this. This is what the priests were to do. Declare this blessing upon the sons of Israel. But they knew, the Lord knows, that they could not produce that blessing. They could not reveal the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. That's all that passage is declaring. The glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. God knows no man can do this. No man knows the Father save the Son. And no man knows the Son save the Father. And He to whom He will reveal Him. One person, by declaring, preaching, whatever you want to say, publishing, cannot cause Christ to be revealed in you. They can only declare the Christ that they themselves are knowing. That it would birth in our own hearts that same expectation to turn and behold that very same Christ. And not that Jesus suddenly shows up. No. There's no veil upon Christ. The moment you're born again, Christ is in you. He's in your soul. There's a veil upon our heart. It's like John chapter 9. We're born of God, births of God, born from above, and we have entered into the light, entered into the day. John chapter 9. And yet we go about like the man in John chapter 9, blind from birth. To what? To the creation, to the house, to the light of life. Born yet blind. Born yet blind. So then we hear, just as He did, "Jesus, Lord, have mercy upon me. What would You have me do? Do that I might receive my sight, to behold Christ." It's a matter of beholding, a matter of beholding Christ. And then the whole situation with the religious world is, well, who sinned? You know, did this guy or his parents? It's a sin issue. You know, who did wrong? So this person's like this. No, neither. Jesus shows up. It's not about sin. But that the work, the glory of God be seen. That the glory of God be known. That the work of God be made manifest. He receives sight. He sees Jesus. That's it. That's what it is all about. That's what it is all about. So the priests, as well as all now, can only declare what they themselves are beholding in the face of Jesus Christ. By hearing what is heard, at that moment, we are hearing Christ is. Christ is. Just as the Scriptures were declaring, Christ is the door. Christ is the way. Christ is the truth. Christ is the life. Even John the Baptist said that. You know, I love the perfect picture with John the Baptist. It says, John, seeing Jesus, I mean, it's a testimony of reality. Seeing Jesus saith, behold the Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world. The first scene of Jesus. Come to take away sin. And then It says, the passage, John chapter 1, I've got it written somewhere in my notes. It goes on a little bit, a couple more verses. It says, and then the next day, John, again, seeing Jesus, saith, behold the Lamb of God. To them that look for him shall he appear the second, apart from sin. The first scene in relation to sin, in bringing us into purpose, right? That's what it is, the lamb slain in Exodus, the lamb slain, bringing them into purpose. They come through the blood, they come through the door, they enter into that death, bringing them into purpose, bringing them out of death into life, into purpose, out from death into life. Entered into purpose. To them that look for him shall he appear the second, apart from sin. Continuing in purpose. The purpose isn't being born again. That's just the door. The purpose is the appearing of Christ. New birth is the door into purpose. At new birth, purpose appears in the soul. Now the soul, the heart, must continue in that very purpose for which it was created. To them that look for him shall he appear apart from sin. Behold the Lamb of God. So this is what you hear from the speaker, from the speaker, from the publications, from the materials, the audios, the videos, till finally it must happen. Till finally we hear with natural ears, yes, but at some point we begin to hear with the other ear, the ear of our heart, the ear of our soul. Jesus even spoke to those around. He who has ears, let him hear. They all had ears. It doesn't say that they were grossly deformed or anything. They all had ears. He was speaking of something greater. When your soul finally hears, and he even said this, the dead that hear my voice shall live. Shall live. At some point in the declaring of Christ, Christ is, he is, behold. At some point, the Lord himself, I love the way Raven said this. He said, at some point, the Lord himself will stand up in your soul and say, I am. At some point, we will hear, not he is. It's the book of Revelation, chapter 1. At some point, we will, without doubt, as we continue in this word, as the catalyst to this goal, we will, like John on the Isle of Patmos, I love this, Revelation chapter 1, verse 10, I was in the Spirit, don't you love that? In the Spirit, on the Lord's day, and heard behind me a great voice as of a trumpet. There's the trumpet. There's the voice of the trumpet. There's the sound of the trumpet right there. Saying, right? I am. Not he is, but he himself saying, I am. This is the Lord himself. This is when we hear the I am. And now, one of two things will happen. One of two things will happen. We will either be obedient to that voice or disobedient. Our heart will either turn or not. Just the same way in Exodus chapter 20. Exodus chapter 19, the Lord purposed them all be a priesthood unto me. All be a priesthood. In chapter 19, you will all come before me, see my face. Exodus chapter 20, they rejected purpose. The Lord speaks, I am, the same thing before us. We will either be obedient or disobedient. That's the way Paul put it. King Agrippa, I was not disobedient. To what? To doing right and wrong? No. To the heavenly vision. Not about doing and not doing. That's the issue of religion. The purpose of God is life. And once again, life more abundantly. That's the blessing. That is Numbers chapter 6, the Aaronic blessing, the priestly blessing. Life more abundantly. It's abundance. That blessing has to do with abundance. There's the abundance. So many people give so many different definitions to the scriptures that fall so short. Listen to this. Fall so short of the glory of God found in the face of Jesus Christ. The scripture does not fall short of the source, of the origin. Does not. So, here's John. Beautiful picture. Here's John. He says, after verse 11, I am. He hears, I am. Verse 12, and I turned to see the voice that spake with me. And being turned, I saw. I turned. I was not disobedient to the voice. Hey, I turned. I turned. I continued in purpose. I turned. Beautiful description of Christ. Light. That's all. I could go in detail with this, but check it out. Verse 13 through verse 16. It all has to do with light. His countenance. Flame of fire. Bronze. Burning bronze. All this light. Beautiful description. Gold. Light. Verse 17. And when I saw him, I fell at his feet. And the understanding grows. It is not I, but Christ who liveth in me. The understanding grows. I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, the vessel's here, yet not I, the life, Christ the life. I love this. And he laid his right hand upon me, saying unto me, fear not, I am. I love that. Fear not, I am. The first and the last, I am he that liveth. I'm the living one. I'm he that liveth. If any man live, he liveth by me, says Jesus. And behold, I am alive forevermore. Amen. And have the keys of hell and of death. And he goes on to the Lord goes on to tell John, now declare what you have seen. The same thing as he told Paul, this thy seeing me, and thy seeing me hereafter. To constitute thee a minister of this thy seeing me, and thy seeing me hereafter. A minister and a witness. All right. So back to my passage, back to my email. We must use our, this is once again with my email. We must use our time wisely. Whatever we consider to be our treasure, it is. That's true. Whatever we consider to be our treasure, that which captivates our heart will either be passing, if it's temporal, if it's of the earth, or remaining. Him that remaineth. Or it will be eternal. And I don't, in this, I'm not saying don't go out and get a car if you need a car. That's not what I'm saying. What I'm presenting is what that which captivates our heart. What's captivating your heart? What's consuming your heart? I mean, just very simply put, there is something consuming your heart. There always is. It will either be something temporal, found in time, of time, or it will be the eternal, outside of time. One will be passing, one will remain. Christ remains. I'll go ahead and read that passage. We find it in Matthew. I love this. This is Matthew chapter 6, verse 19, if I can get there, verse 19 through 23. I've got a subtitle, Treasures in Heaven. How about treasure? Period. The riches of Christ. Matthew chapter 6, verse 19 through 23. It's all in the same context. Lay not up for yourselves treasures upon earth, where moth and rust doth corrupt, and where thieves break in, break through and steal. But lay up for yourselves. But lay up for yourselves treasure in heaven, treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt, and where thieves do not break through nor steal. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. Colossians 3, Paul later on goes to say, set your affection on that which is above, not that which is on the earth. Set your affection, turn your heart unto Him. Let your treasure be Christ Himself, the appearance of Christ Himself. And the passage goes on, verse 22. The light, I love this, after talking about treasure, now he goes on to say, the light of the body is the eye. If therefore thine eye be single, thy whole body shall be full of light. But if thine eye be evil, thy whole body shall be full of darkness. If therefore the light that is in thee be darkness, how great is that darkness? Light, darkness. Where is your gaze? What are you beholding? Light or darkness? Where's your affection? Where's your treasure? Upon the light? Upon Christ? Or upon darkness? I love contrasting things with the Lord, because it'll always be this way. Our heart will either be turned unto Christ or unto darkness. Light, darkness. Unto Christ, unto life, or unto death. Always. We have to see things in their extremes. I don't say extreme. You know, take it to its final end. I had a conversation with another one of my coworkers, and he was talking about his family tree. He said how he was of a kingly lineage, you know, and how, you know, this and that, and then I said there was another guy in the break room also, and I said Adam, and then he kept on going. And then he said, yeah, and all my family's all scattered about. He said, because we can't live around each other. We'll kill each other. We hate each other. And I said, Adam, take it back. I mean, if we're going to do things like that, if we're going to look at something, take it not to the extreme, just take it to its end. Adam, what is the opposite of life? Death. The opposite of light? Darkness. The opposite of Christ? Antichrist. Just take it to its end. So, going on. We must choose wisely, and we must encourage one another unto choosing Him. Encourage one another unto seeing Him. Why? Because listen to this, is my goal any different than your goal? No. The Lord created the soul with one purpose, not several. And I know what humanity says, and I know what the Christian religion of man says. God created you for this purpose. God created you for this purpose. God created you for this purpose. Well, how many Christs are there? There's one Christ. There's one purpose. That's why we encourage one another daily. I believe Paul was encouraged by the brethren, by the churches. I believe he was encouraged. I don't think he was like not himself needing also to be directed and redirected. Raven had just shared this past Wednesday in his class. There was a time when Peter needed to be encouraged and redirected. It was by Paul. You know, hey. He was eating with the Gentiles, you know, and then the Jews from Jerusalem came, and then he separated himself. And then here comes Paul. Come on, Peter, what you're doing isn't good. It's evil. It isn't good. Has nothing to do with light. It's evil. Redirects him unto Christ. Encourages him unto Christ. That's the very exact same thing that Jesus said. I love this. To Peter. I love Peter. He's a real good example. You know. The Lord tells Peter, basically, the cock, before it crows three times, you will deny me. Lord, I'll never deny you. Even unto death. No. You'll deny me before the cock crows. Yeah, I will. Yes, I will die for you. He says, I will die for you. Oh, yeah, will you? Three times, you will deny me. And then beautiful, beautiful the way the Lord says this. But afterwards, after all this failure, he says, afterwards, he says, when you are converted, the word converted is the very exact same word we find in 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 16, 17 or 18, where Paul says, but when the heart turns to the Lord, the veil should be removed. That's the very exact same word, epistrepho, in the Greek. I think it's Strong's number 1994. Forgive me if I gave you the wrong numbers. All right, but search it out. You'll find it. When your heart finally turns, strengthen your brethren. How will you encourage others if your own heart is not turned in beholding purpose, beholding the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ? How will you, or let me ask this, what will you encourage others unto? See, everybody, and I've shared this before as well, every generation will serve some purpose. But who will serve the purpose of God in their generation and direct and guide hearts into that very exact same purpose for which their soul was created? Who will? Who will do this? Only those whom themselves are turned, just as Peter, beholding the glory of God with an unveiled face, no veil, beholding the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. Nobody else will do that except one beholding Christ. Who will say, behold the Lamb of God, like John the Baptist, except the one looking unto Jesus, declaring what he seeth? No one else. No one else. That's why this brother, me, you, so many were born again and wandered in circles in darkness for who knows how long in the Christian religion of man, until finally you heard someone declaring, behold the Lamb of God. Behold the Lamb of God, declaring Christ out of the Scriptures. And then finally, the Lord Himself saying, I am, now behold me. It's life more abundant. The abundance, the blessing, the beholding of the face of Christ. I'll go ahead and read a little bit more from my email. Everything else is just passing away. Everything, period. It's not Christ. Sorry, it's passing away. Then I went on to say, sorry for the 20 questions, etc. You know, like 20 questions, you ever heard that game? I said, sorry for the 20 questions. But I spent, here we go, I spent 20 years of nothing. This is Jimmy, this is me personally. I spent 20 years of nothing with no purpose at all before I was born again. 20 years. Wasted. 20 years wasted. Then I spent another 16 to 17 years wandering in darkness before the purpose was revealed in me. I wish someone would have just told me the truth from the very beginning. Yeah. Do you remember the word beginning? From the very beginning. I wish I would have heard the truth from the beginning. But how could they? No man can preach Christ except Christ be revealed in him. That's what Paul said. But when it pleased God to reveal his Son in me, with the effect of that I might preach him. I cannot preach him except he be revealed in me. So much wasted time. But that's that. So much wasted time, but that's that, right? I'm glad that I finally yielded to the dealing of the Lord, and He was able to finally lead me to those who had seen the light of life and were declaring what they were seeing. Lead me to those that were and could declare Christ. To those that were not coming short of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. I'm so thankful to the Lord that the Lord got a hold of me and set me in the way. Now I can finally serve purpose. I mean, the all-time question, why am I here? I can finally serve purpose. No, I do not mean preach, teach, minister, etc. I mean see Him. This is the purpose for which the soul was created, His appearing. Apart from Him being revealed in our souls of the Father, listen to this, we serve no purpose. And I'm not playing with words here. Serving the purpose for which we were created is continuing in the purpose for which we're created. That's how you serve purpose. It's easy. I mean, even the disciples, what must we do to do the works of God? Give me something to do. Like the Israelites. No, I don't want to see the face of God. I'll die. I'll be consumed. For our God's a consuming fire. Just give me something to do. Believe on Him whom He has sent. How about that? That doesn't satisfy my carnal imagination. Well, it never will. It never will. I've got a diagram on the board. I don't know if we're going to get to it or not. So I'll go ahead and read some other notes that I jotted down. In the wee hours of the night. I love this. Let's go ahead and read all this. I'll read my green notes first, or my yellow. We will either be governed by death or governed by light. That's it. By the mind of death or the mind of life. Listen, the mind of man. Mind of man or the mind of Christ. Only the heart that is turned to the Lord with the veil removed, with an unveiled face, beholding the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ, where there is light known to be present, not just because the light just doesn't automatically appear. No, no. The light's there like the man in John chapter 9. He's in the day. He's just blind. That's it. Everything's already there. But he's just blind to what's there. He just doesn't see. Therefore, he doesn't know. All right? When we know the light to be present, we are governed by the mind of Christ. We are not, listen to this, we are not governed in darkness. We are governed in light. The mind of Christ is not found in darkness. The mind of Christ is found in light. Think about it in the natural. Right now, you're using your natural mind, right? You're either listening, moving something, getting a cough drop, and this paper over here. What do you do when you sleep? Your mind's still working. It's just dreaming. It's not real. It's your wildest imaginations. You know? And then, so sad, sometimes we're found to be daydreaming. where we're off in a warped reality. But I'll go on. The mind of Christ is found in light. Nowhere else. Nowhere else. Paul says, we have the mind of Christ. The question is, who then is governed by this mind? You have been made partakers of Christ. The question then is, who then is partaking? Once you come into the door, you've come into everything. The question is, do we know the everything that we have come into? Do we know, simply put, the fullness of Christ? All right. I love this. Listen to this comment. We can experience eternity at new birth. because Christ is the eternal. Excuse me, and to some degree we do experience eternity at new birth. Christ is eternal, the eternal blessing. The question is, do we walk in eternity? Do we continue? In looking at some commentaries concerning the priestly blessing, the Aaronic blessing, I just love it. This is for the whole people of God. It wasn't just something for Moses. Remember, Moses went up to the mountain. He spoke face to face with the Lord. He came back down. His face was shining. Old covenant from without, from afar. Okay, it was testimony. But it was for the people of God. The whole people. That's why the Lord says, "In this manner you shall bless the sons of Israel. The Eternal bless thee and keep thee. The Eternal make His face shine upon thee. The Eternal lift up His countenance upon thee and give thee peace." Unto the whole. This wasn't just to be experienced by Moses. This what? The face, the countenance. But this blessing, this abundance, but the whole word experiences. To continue in this blessing. And that's why it's the eternal, perpetual blessing of the eternal. Perpetual. Why do I say that? Continuing. Why? Because the Lord says, "Speak now unto Aaron, the bringer of light, and unto his sons." Plural. The Lord's basically setting out, this is the way it's going to be. It will be yes in this generation, and it will be yes for this generation, and for the next generation, and for the next generation. This thy seeing me, and thy seeing me hereafter, from generation unto generation unto generation, the face of the Lord. So, we can experience eternity now, because the eternal dwells in us. We can face, we can view, we can see eternity. We can live in eternity now, not someday when this fleshly body goes away. No. The definition isn't found in time. The definition is found in Christ Himself, the Eternal. Now. I know the Christian religion of man will say no, not now. Because the Christian religion of man has never seen the face of Christ. Simply put, never seen the face of Christ. Eternity begins for the soul at new birth. Walking in eternity is when the soul, the heart, is turned and beholding the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. It's the tradition of man versus the reality of God. Would you like? But this is a family tradition. It's the tradition of man. It's nothing to do with life and reality. I love this. Speaking of purpose, when I'm kind of a little sharing things from my notes here, not necessarily in the order which I wrote them down, but do y'all remember? I love this. I'll use my diagram. I'll finally use my diagram. I put a diagram on the board. I'll finally use it. So I'm going to point with my pointer. My pointer pen. All right, I love this. You see the whole thing right here. It's beautiful. You see the whole passage. All right? This is the testimony of reality. Here we go. The eternal cross, right? The eternal cross made manifest in time. Here, timeline. In the beginning, before time, it's God. It's God the eternal. Eternity, time. Here's the timeline. Time starts afterwards. Right? Christ is eternal. I'll just pick it up at this point. Here's Egypt, right? Children of Israel in Egypt. Okay? In type, they're among the dead. Right? In type, they're all among the dead with the Egyptians. You know, God calls them for a purpose, but doesn't matter. God has a purpose. Listen, God has a purpose for them. It doesn't matter. They're dead. Right? God has a purpose for them, but it doesn't matter. They're dead. So here, what does the Lord do? He sends to them a deliverer. That would be, well, type and shadow, it's Moses. Okay? Moses comes to free the children of Israel. Get them out. Right? We have the death of the Lamb. Right? Everything, all these signs, miracles, and wonders going on, but nothing really of purpose. All these activities, I mean, you have frogs showing up, water being turned to blood, all these things, you have fire from heaven, but nothing really bringing them into purpose yet. Until the death of the Lamb. Now, here, the blood on the doorpost and lintel, they enter in through the door. They don't have to. They're just what? Obedient. To purpose. That's it. They enter into the door. Blood. And here, it says the angel of death passed over. And basically it was like, and where he sees the door already on the house, he'll pass over. It's going to be death widespread. But if he sees blood on a door, what's the conclusion? Death, judgment has already taken place. To judge, bring to death everything. Everything. See, we don't escape the judgment. No, we don't. Noah didn't escape the judgment. It rained on Noah like it rained on everybody else. The difference was Noah was in the ark. Noah entered into judgment when he entered in through the door of the ark. Just like the Israelites entered into that judgment when they entered into the door covered with blood. Okay? So death happens upon all. Paul later on declares it. He says, "For the love of Christ constrains me to say this." It's the love of Christ. Nothing less than His love. That one died for all. All died. That's what the Egyptians eventually said. We all be dead. We all dead. That's what the Egyptians said. Get out of here. We all dead. This one death killed them all. Really what it did, it brought death, the state of death, to an end. The state of death to death. They could not receive life in that state. Right? Like Adam. Hey, he partook of the tree of death. God says, you're out of the garden. You can't. Hey, lest you partake of the tree of life, lest you partake now of life in that state. No, you can't. You cannot partake of life in this state. So he puts a flaming sword. No, angel. He's out. They're out. In this state, you cannot partake of life. Brings death to death. All right. Cross, death, burial, resurrection. Think of it. Cross. That's what the cross is. It's death, burial, resurrection. Now, you've got the Red Sea crossing. Right? You've got the Red Sea crossing where they're buried. Hey, all were baptized into Moses. Burial, baptism. Right? The water spread. Here goes. Israel goes into burial. They have to. You have to. Egypt goes into burial. One comes out. Israel is my son, even my firstborn. Egypt, the dead, do not come out. See? Christ, if I be lifted up, I'll draw all men unto myself. Right here, in the cross. That's it. That's where he was lifted up. Puts all to death. Is buried. Puts all into his burial. Buries all. Death, burial. And see, we don't continue with the eternal cross. We leave it. We say, oh, well, when they come into Canaan, they come into resurrection. No, no, no. Death, burial. Death, burial. Resurrection. Immediately. Immediately after they come out of the Red Sea, they are in type in resurrection. Why? Numbers 14. Nope. Different verse. Where is it? I've got so many passages here. Forgive me, I didn't get them all jotted down in the same spot. I've got it written in my notes. How I bear you on eagle's wings. He's speaking this, I believe, in Exodus. 19?
Yeah.
Thank you. Thank you. Exodus 19, where he's declaring, yes, it is Exodus 19, because right a few verses after that passage, he's declaring, and now you will be unto me. If you are obedient, if you obey my voice, you will be unto me a peculiar people. Right? And then he goes on to say, and you will be a kingdom of priests unto me. A priest and a holy nation unto me. But in Exodus 19, still in Exodus, how I bear you on eagle's wings and brought you unto myself. They are in type in resurrection at that moment. But here we go. Now we're in resurrection. Just like the born again believer, whether he wants to believe it or not, you have entered into eternity. Why? At the moment eternity enters into you. You are. This is for us, for them it was a type. For us, it's no type. It's reality. It's no type. Anyone who's born again, you are in resurrection, if Christ be in you. Set your affection on that which is above, for you are dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God. Ephesians chapter 2. Raised us up, seated us together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Okay, now here, what's the situation here? Well, there are the many who are ignorant of what just took place. There are many who are ignorant of the finished work of the cross. And there are few that are not. See, this little dashed square, they look not to the face of Christ. No, they look to vanity. They look to what, listen, they look to what they think they were. Right? They'll say, oh, my past life. No, no, brother, no, sister. You had no past life. Up to the point when you were born again, you had no life at all. How can you say your past life? No, there's no past life. You either have life or you don't. You're either born again or you're not. You're either in the day or you're still in darkness. And those who are born again are in the day. Now they must know it. Light must appear in their hearts, that they may see the light of life. All right? So here's the great multitude, right? Oh, but the leeks in Egypt. Vanity. 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 Why? Because before the cross, before the death, it's as though you didn't exist. You had no life before that point. So what are you going back to? Your vain imagination. How does the Lord see it? To Abraham, he says, take now Isaac, thy son, thine only son. What about Ishmael? It's as though he doesn't exist. Thine only son, Isaac. Right? Here, look at this. Here, which one is this one? Who would this represent? This one is the one seeing who? The face of God. We could say Moses is right here, right? With an unveiled face. Here's the veil. On the majority of Israel, it says, no, we will not go up. We will not go up and behold the face of God, lest our imagination die. Lest we have to leave our vanity, the ignorance of our heart. So here we have one with an unveiled face. I love that. Unveiled face. Beholding as a glass. The glory of the Lord being changed into that same image. Now it's not like Moses from the outside. Now it's on the inside. The reality is on the inside. Where Paul then says, for God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, hath shined in our hearts on the inside, to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. An unveiled face. So now the Lord says, okay, now, guys, we're continuing with purpose. You're going into Canaan. Canaan isn't glory land. Canaan, the land of promise, is the soul. God created the soul with one purpose, the appearing of His Son. That's what Canaan is. There ain't no squiddies in Jesus. Right? But what about the inhabitants that are there already? Hey, I'll drive them out before you. You just go possess, spread. And they say, no, we can't. But Joshua and Caleb says, the Lord can. It's according to purpose. It's according to testimony. It's already spelled out. How can he not be faithful to his testimony? How can he not be faithful to his son? The Lord can. The Lord will. These were not beholding the face of the Lord. No, we cannot do this. This is impossible for man. But what's impossible for man is possible with God. Bringing unto purpose, to continue in purpose. So they that reject purpose, 40 years of wandering in ignorance. And may the body of Christ no longer continue wandering in ignorance. 40 years of darkness. And they all died. Never continuing in purpose. Having entered into the purpose, they did not continue in purpose. Except for a few. So a whole new other generation comes out. And the Lord says, now, fill the land. Oh, right here when they said, forget it, we're not going, the Lord says, okay, fine. Here's the verse. Numbers 14:21. The Lord says, fine. He says this, surely I live. Not you. Surely I live. And as I live, my glory will fill this land. Whether you believe it or not. If you're born again, listen. Whether you believe it or not, my glory fills the land. Period. And then we have very beautifully Habakkuk 2:14. The knowledge of the glory of the Lord. The knowledge. Not just the reality of the substance, but now it's the knowledge. The knowledge of the glory of the Lord shall fill the earth. The land. The same term. I'm not going to give you a Strong's number. I think it starts with a 7. The same term. The knowledge of the glory of the Lord shall fill the earth as the waters cover the sea. Completely. The light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. To bring into purpose, to continue in purpose. Right there. And then Paul, I believe he was probably weeping when he said this. He said, we are not as many. We are not as many. It's 2 Corinthians chapter 2, I think it's verse 17. We are not as many. We are not as many that walk in darkness, declaring vanity. We are not as many. But in the sight of God, in the face of God, speak we in Christ. Speak we reality, speak we purpose. And see what then? Okay? They enter in a generation, listen, a whole generation called for purpose, misses it, rejects it, is disobedient unto purpose. And a whole generation dies not serving the purpose of God. 40 years, a whole generation. Thank God for Joshua and Caleb. Thank God that they were beholding the face of Christ. That's what they were doing. Their hearts were set to the Lord. Their hearts had something to do with more than what they were doing physically, naturally. They served purpose. And they brought in a whole generation into purpose. Now see, where the purpose broke down and all this stuff, and you know, they defeated inhabitants, but then other inhabitants defeated them. You know, that the testimony wavered. No, Christ does not waver. He comes in. He enters into his temple. He drives out everything out of his temple. He alone remains. Yes. That's the reality. In John, I think it's chapter 2, he comes into his temple, drives everything out of the temple. He alone remains. He alone. You see the testimony of it with Moses. Moses finished the work of the tabernacle. The glory of the Lord filled the house. And Moses had to leave. The glory of the Lord only. You see the picture with Solomon, who is a type of the reigning Christ, the risen Christ. Solomon finishes the work. The glory of the Lord fills the house. All the priests leave. All humanity. Listen, all humanity, all carnality, all darkness, all temporalness leaves, and only the glory of the Lord remains in the house. And what then? What is this? What is this? I used to say this was manifesting the glory of God or manifesting this or that. I used to say manifesting. No. What is this? The savor of the knowledge of Christ. That's what this is. In every place. That's what this is. In every place. You're manifesting. In every place you're declaring the savor. It's the savor of the knowledge of Christ. Why? Because you're declaring reality. And found only in the face of Jesus Christ. Nowhere else. Nowhere less. A generation. Listen. Speak now unto Aaron, the bringer of light, and unto his sons. In this wise you shall bless the sons of Israel. In this way, in this manner. For a generation. A perpetual blessing from generation to generation to generation to generation to bring them into purpose, and that they would continue in purpose, and not come short, not remain short, not fall short of the glory of God found only in the face of Jesus Christ. A whole generation lost to purpose, a whole generation wandering in the woods, not serving purpose. May it not be so in our generation. May it not be so in the next generation. But may we declare purpose. And we can only declare purpose if our hearts are turned beholding Him. Like John the Baptist. It's the same. John the Baptist, I love it. Beholding, looking upon Jesus, saith, behold the Lamb of God. Nothing less. Nothing less. So, the Lord continue to deal with our hearts according to His eternal purpose. Amen? According to the purpose for which He even created our souls. That we would not walk in darkness, but that we would walk in light, serving purpose in our generation. Amen.